Tenth sign. Corroborating the miracles concerning trees and reported in the form of consensus is the miracle of the moaning of the pole. Yes, the pole's moaning in the Prophet's mosque before a vast crowd because of its temporary separation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam both confirms and strengthens the instances of miracles related to trees. For the pole also was of wood. Their substance was the same. However, the reports of this miracle itself form a consensus, whereas the others are thus, as a group in one class, most of them individually or separately not attaining the degree of explicit consensus. When delivering the sermon in the mosque, Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, used to lean against a pole consisting of a date palm. But when the pulpit was made, he began to give the sermon from there, whereupon the pole moaned and wailed like a camel. The whole congregation heard it. Only when the Prophet came down from the pulpit to it and placed his hand on it, speaking to it and consoling it, did the pole stop moaning. This miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was narrated through numerous chains of transmission at the degree of consensus. Indeed, the miracle of the moaning of the pole is very widely known, and there is true consensus concerning it. Hundreds of authorities on hadith of the subsequent generation narrated the miracle through 15 chains of transmission from an illustrious group of companions and passed it down to succeeding centuries. From that group, eminent scholars among the companions and leading experts on hadith, such as Anas bin Malik and Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari, both servants of the Prophet, Abdullah bin Umar, Abdullah bin Abbas, Sahl bin Sa'ad, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Ubay bin Ka'b, Ureida, and Salama, the mother of believers, each at the head of a chain of transmission, reported this same miracle to the Prophet's community. Foremost, Bukhari, Muslim, and the authentic books of Hadith gave accounts of this great miracle, concerning which there is consensus of reports, together with its lines of transmission for succeeding generations. Jabir, in his chain of transmission, says, Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, used to lean against a wooden pole called the palm trunk while delivering the sermon in the mosque. The pole could not endure it when the pulpit was made, and the messenger used that for the sermon and began to moan and wail like a pregnant camel. In his narration, Anas says, it moaned like a water buffalo, causing the mosque to tremble. In his narration, Sahl bin Sa'ad says, and weeping increased among the people on the pole's moaning. In his narration, Ubay bin Ka'ab says, it wept so much it split. While in another narration, the noble messenger said, it is weeping at being separated from the recitation of Allah's names and the mentioning of Allah during the sermon. Still, another narration reports that Allah's messenger said, if I had not embraced and consoled it, it would have wept at being separated from Allah's messenger until doomsday. In his narration, Ureida reports, when the pole began to moan, Allah's messenger put his hand on it and said, if you wish, I will return you to the grove you came from. Your roots will grow and you will flourish. You will produce new fruits. Or, if you wish, I will plant you in paradise and Allah's friends, the saints, will eat of your fruit. He then listened to the pole. The people behind Allah's messenger could hear it as it spoke, saying, plant me in paradise where there is no decay, so that Almighty Allah's beloved servants will eat of my fruit. The messenger said, I will, and added, it has preferred the eternal realm to that of transitoriness. Abu Ishaq Isfarani, one of the great authorities on theology, narrated, Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, did not go to the pole, but it came to him at his command. Then at his command it returned to its place. Ubay bin Ka'ab says, after this extraordinary event, Allah's messenger ordered that the pole be put under the pulpit. It was put there and remained there until the mosque was pulled down before being rebuilt. Then Ubay bin Ka'ab took it and kept it until it decayed. The famous scholar Hassan al-Basri would weep while teaching this miraculous event to his students and say to them, a piece of wood demonstrated love and longing for Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. So you should feel more love than that. As for us, we say, yes, and love and longing for him is shown through following his illustrious practices and sacred Sharia. An important point. If it is asked, why were the other miracles, which were demonstrated in relation to food, to satisfy fully 1,000 men with 4 handfuls of food in the Battle of Khandaq, and another 1,000 men with water flowing from the messenger's blessed fingers, not narrated through numerous chains of transmission as the miracle of the moaning of the pole, although the former 2 miracles occurred in the presence of larger crowds? The answer: the miracles that were manifested were of 2 kinds. One were manifested at the hands of Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, in order to make people assent to his prophethood. The moaning of the pole was of that kind. It occurred solely as a proof, an affirmation of prophethood, to increase the believer's faith, to urge the dissemblers to sincerity and belief, and to bring to belief the unbelievers. That is why everyone, the low and the high, saw it, and great attention was paid to broadcasting it. However, the miracles concerning food and water were wonders rather than miracles, or divine favors rather than wonders, or, more than favor, they were banquets bestowed by the All-Merciful One because of need. For sure, they were proofs of his claim to prophethood and miracles, but their basic aim was this. The army was hungry, so Almighty Allah provided a feast for 1,000 men out of a handful of food from his treasury in the unseen, just as he creates 1,000 pounds of dates from a single seed. And for a thirsty army fighting in his way, he caused water to flow like the water of Kauthar from the fingers of the commander-in-chief and gave them to drink. It is for this reason that all the examples of the miracles concerning food and water do not attain the degree of the miracle of the moaning of the pole. However, in their entirety, the various kinds of these 2 miracles are as numerous and unanimously reported as the moaning of the pole. Moreover, not everyone could see the increase of food and water flowing from his fingers. They could only see the results, whereas everyone heard the pole moaning, so it was more widely broadcast. If it is asked, all the actions and conduct of Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, were recorded and transmitted by his companions with extreme care, why then are such great miracles only narrated through 10 or 20 chains of transmission when they should have been narrated through 100? Also, why are many narrated from Anas, Jabir, and Abu Huraira, and few related from Abu Bakr and Umar? The answer to the first part of the question has been given in the third principle in the fourth sign. Regarding the second part, just as someone in need of medicine goes to a doctor, mathematicians are consulted on mathematical problems, and questions to do with the Sharia are asked of the Mufti, and so on. So too, some of the scholars among the companions were charged with the duty of instructing succeeding centuries in the hadiths of the Prophet, working with all their strength for this end. Yes, Abu Huraira devoted his entire life to memorizing hadiths, while Umar was occupied with the world of politics and the caliphate. Umar therefore narrated very few traditions, relying on persons like Abu Huraira, Anas, and Jabir to teach the hadiths to the Muslim community. Furthermore, on a well-known, truthful, sincere, honest, and trusted companion reporting an incident through one chain, it was regarded as sufficient, and no need remained for another to narrate it. That is why some significant events were narrated through only 2 or 3 chains of transmission. 11th sign. As the 10th sign explained miracles of the Prophet related to trees, the 11th sign will describe how rocks and mountains among lifeless creatures also demonstrated prophetic miracles. Here we cite a few out of numerous instances. First example, the great scholar of the Maghrib, Qadi Iyad, in his Shifa al-Sharif, with a celebrated chain of authorities and great imams like Bukhari, report through an authentic narration from Ibn Mas'ud, the Prophet's servant. While eating together with Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, we used to hear the food glorifying Allah. Second example. Accurate books of hadith report from Anas and Abu Dhar through an authentic narration. Anas, the Prophet's servant, said, "We were together with Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, when he took up a handful of small stones and they began to praise Allah in his blessed palm. Then he put them in Abu Bakr, the voracious's hand, and again they glorified Allah." In his line of transmission, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari says, "Then he put them into Umar's hand, and again they glorified Allah. Then he took them and put them on the ground, and they were silent. Then he again took them and put them in Uthman's hand, where again they began to glorify Allah." Abu Dhar and Anas relate, "He put them in our hands, and they were silent." Third example. It is established through a sound narration from Ali, Jabir, and Aisha al-Sadiqa, rocks and mountains would say to Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, "Peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah." In Ali's chain of narration, it says, "Whenever we went around in the environs of Mecca in the early days of his prophethood, the trees and rocks we encountered would declare, 'Peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah.'" While in his chain of transmission, Jabir says, "Whenever the noble messenger came across rocks and trees, they would prostrate before him." That is, demonstrating obedience to him, they would declare, "Peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah." In one of Jabir's narrations, the messenger said, "I know a rock that salutes me." Some said that he intended the black stone of the Kaaba. In her line of transmission, Aisha said, "Allah's messenger said, 'When Jibril brought me the message, I would never pass by a rock or a tree without it saying, "Peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah."'" Fourth example. Reported through an authentic narration from Abbas, Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, covered Abbas and his four sons, Abdullah, Ubaidullah, Fadl, and Husam, with a piece of cloth called Mula'at, praying, "Oh, my sustainer, this is my uncle. Protect through me these, his sons, and veil them from the fire as I veil them with this cloth." The roof, door, and the walls of the house joined in the prayer once, saying, "Ameen, Ameen." Fifth example. Accurate books, notably Bukhari, Ibn Hibban, Daud, and Tirmidhi, unanimously report from Anas, Abu Huraira, Uthman, Dhin Nurain, and Sa'ad bin Zayd, from among the 10 promised paradise, Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salat wassalam, climbed Mount Uhud together with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar al-Faruq, and Uthman bin Nurain, either due to their awesomeness or out of its own joy and happiness. The mountain began to tremble and stir. Allah's messenger said, "Steady, for upon you are a prophet, a voracious one, Siddiq, and two martyrs." This tradition is giving news from the unseen that Umar and Uthman were going to be martyred. As a supplement to this tradition, it is narrated that when Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, migrated from Mecca, pursued by the unbelievers, they climbed the mountain called Thubir. The mountain said, "Leave me, O messenger of Allah. I am afraid that Allah will punish me if they strike you on me." Then Mount Hira called to him, "Come to me, O Messenger of Allah." For this reason, men of intuition feel fear on Mount Thubir and a sense of safety on Mount Hira. As can be understood from this example, these vast mountains are each an individual servant of Allah. Each glorifies and praises Him. Each is charged with duties. They recognized and loved Allah's Messenger. They are not without purpose or owner. Sixth example. Reported through an authentic narration from Abdullah bin Umar. While delivering the sermon from the pulpit, Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam recited the verse, "No just estimate have they made of Allah such as is due to him. On the day of judgment, the whole earth will be but his handful, and the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand," and said, "Allah the compeller is exalting himself and saying, I am the compeller, I am the compeller, I am the mighty, I am the most high." As he said this, the pulpit so trembled and shook that we were frightened it would cause Allah's messenger to fall. Seventh example. It is reported through an authentic narration from Ibn Abbas, known as the scholar of the Muslim community and interpreter of the Quran, and Ibn Mas'ud, the servant of the Prophet and one of the great scholars of the companions, that they said, on the conquest of Mecca, there were 360 idols around the Kaaba, fixed with lead to the stone. That day, the noble Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam pointed to each of the idols in turn with the stick he was holding curved like a bow, saying, "The truth has arrived and falsehood has perished. Indeed, falsehood is ever bound to perish. Whichever one he pointed to, it fell down. If he pointed to the face of the idol, it fell backwards. Otherwise, it fell on its face. Thus, they all toppled over and fell to the ground." Eighth example. This is the famous story of the well-known monk Bahira. Before the beginning of his prophethood, Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, was traveling towards Damascus to trade together with his uncle Abu Talib and some of the Quraysh. They rested when they came near the church of Bahira, the monk. Bahira, who was a hermit and did not mix with the people, suddenly came out. He saw Muhammad the Trustworthy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, among the caravan and said, "He is the Lord of the world. He will be a prophet." The Quraysh asked, "How do you know?" The holy monk replied, "I saw a small cloud over the caravan as you were coming. When you sat down, the cloud moved toward him and cast its shadow over him. I also saw trees and rocks prostrate themselves before him, which they do only before prophets." There are at least 80 examples of the same kind as these 8 instances. When they came together, these 8 instances form a chain so strong that no doubt can break it or shake it. Taken as a whole, this sort of miracle, that is, the speaking of inanimate beings in order to testify to his prophethood, expresses the same certainty as consensus in meaning. Each example receives strength greater than its own from the strength of the whole. Yes, a slender pole becomes strong on coming together with stout poles. On becoming a soldier and joining the army, a weak, powerless man becomes so strong he may challenge 1,000 men. 12th sign. This consists of 3 examples related to the 11th sign, but which are examples of the greatest importance. First example. "And when you threw, it was not you who threw. It was rather Allah that threw," as established by the researches of all Quranic commentators, and by the reports of the scholars of Hadith. This verse refers to the following incident during the Battle of Badr. Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, took up a handful of earth and small stones and threw them at the army of the unbelievers, saying, "May your faces be deformed." Just as these words entered the ears of all of them, despite being a single phrase, so too the handful of earth entered the eyes of each one of the unbelievers. Each became preoccupied with his eyes, and although on the attack, the army suddenly turned tail and fled. Also, during the Battle of Hunain, the authorities on Hadith and foremost Imam Muslim report that, like at the Battle of Badr, he again threw a handful of earth while the unbelievers were staging a fierce attack, saying, "May your faces be deformed." The handful of earth struck the faces of each of them, with Allah's leave, the same as words of the phrase entered the ears of each. Busy with their eyes, they retreated and fled. Since this extraordinary event at Badr and Hunain is not within man's power and ordinary causes, the Quran of Miraculous Exposition states, "When you threw, it was not you who threw. It was rather Allah that threw." That is, the event was outside human power. It occurred not through human ability, but in an extraordinary manner through divine power. Second example, the accurate books and foremost Bukhari and Muslim narrate that during the Khaybar expedition, a Jewess roasted a goat, filling it with a very strong poison. She then sent it to Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. The companions had begun to eat it when the Prophet suddenly said, "Withdraw your hands. It tells me it is poisoned." Everyone pulled back his hand, but Bishr bin al-Bara had eaten a single morsel and died from the effects of the severe poison. The noble messenger sent for the Jewess called Zainab and asked her why she had done it. The inauspicious woman said, "I considered that if you were a prophet, it would not harm you, and if you were a king, I would save the people from you." According to some narrations, the prophet did not have her put to death, but left her to Bishr's family to be killed. Now listen to a few points demonstrating aspects of the miraculousness in this extraordinary incident. The first, according to one narration, some of the companions also heard the goat speaking. The second, according to another narration, Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, "Say Bismillah, then eat. The poison will not affect you." Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani does not accept this narration, but others do. The third, the treacherous Jews wanted to deal a sudden blow at Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, and his close companions. But being informed about this from the unseen, the Prophet's warning proved true, and their plot was uncovered and brought to naught. And when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from whom the companions never heard an untrue statement, said, "This goat tells me that," everyone believed him with conviction, as sure as if they themselves had heard the goat. Third example, this consists of three instances of another miracle which resembles the shining hand and staff of Musa. The first, Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal explaining and authenticating a narration from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reports, one dark and stormy night, the noble messenger alayhi salatu wassalam gave Qatada bin al-Numan a staff saying, "This staff will light up 10 yards all around you. You will see a dark shadow when you arrive at your house. It is Satan. Throw him out of the house and drive him away." Qatada took the staff and set off. It cast a light like Musa's shining hand. He came to his house where he saw the shadowy figure, and he drove it away. The second, while fighting the idolaters during the great battle of Badr, itself a source of wonders, Ukasha bin Muhassin al-Asadi had his sword broken. Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, gave him a stout staff in place of it, saying, "Fight with this." Suddenly, with Allah's leave, the staff became a long white sword, and he fought with it. He carried the sword on his person for the rest of his life until he fell as a martyr during the Battle of Al-Yamama. This incident is certain because throughout his life he carried the sword with pride, and it became famous with the name of Sakor. Thus, two proofs of this incident are Ukasha's pride and the sword's name, Sakor, and its widespread fame. The third, it is narrated by authorities on hadith like Ibn Abdul Bar, a celebrated scholar known as the scholar of the age, that at the Battle of Uhud, a cousin of Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, Abdullah bin Jahsh's sword was broken. Allah's prophet gave him a staff which became a sword in his hand. He fought with it, and after the battle, that product of a miracle remained a sword. In his siyar, the well-known Ibn Sayyid al-Nas reports that sometime later, Abdullah sold the sword to a man called Bughra al-Turki for 200 liras. Thus, these two swords were each miracles like the staff of Musa. For while no aspect of miraculousness remained in his staff after Musa's death, these swords remained unchanged. 13th sign. Another of the miracles of Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, of which there are numerous instances which are reported unanimously, is the sick and the wounded being healed through his blessed breath. The reports of this kind of miracle are, as a whole, unanimous in meaning. Some of the instances of these miracles also are considered to be unanimous in meaning. And if the others are single reports, since they have been rendered and confirmed as authentic by the exacting authorities of the science of Hadith, they afford the certainty of science. We shall mention a few instances of the miracles out of many. First example, the learned scholar of the Maghrib, Qadi Iyad, in his Shifa al-Sharif, narrates through an elevated chain of authorities and numerous lines of transmission that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, the Prophet's servant and commander-in-chief of the army of Islam in the time of Umar, the conqueror of Iran, and one of the Ten Promised Paradise, said, "I was at the noble Prophet's side during the Battle of Uhud. He shot arrows at the unbelievers until his bow broke. Then he gave arrows to me, telling me to shoot them. The arrows he gave me were without flights, that is, without the feathers which helped them fly. He was ordering me to shoot them, which I did, and they flew like flighted arrows, hitting the unbelievers' bodies and piercing them. At that point, Qatada bin Nu'man was hit in the eye by an arrow. It was struck out of his head, so that it was sitting on the side of his face. Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, took the eye in his blessed healing hand and placed it in its socket. It was healed as though nothing had happened to it and became the better of his two eyes." This event became very widely known. A grandson of Qatada even once described himself to Umar bin Abdul Aziz as, "I am the grandson of one who, when Allah's most noble messenger placed his eye back in its socket after it had been struck out, it was suddenly healed and became his best eye." He said this in verse, introducing himself to Umar in that way. It is also related through an authentic narration that during the battle known as the Yawm bi Qarad, Abu Qatada was hit in the face by an arrow. Allah's Prophet touched his face with his blessed hand. Abu Qatada said, "I felt no pain at all, nor did the wound fester." Second example, the authentic books of Hadith, and foremost Bukhari and Muslim, report that the noble Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, had appointed Ali al-Haydari as standard bearer during the Battle of Khaybar, but his eyes were aching severely due to illness. The moment the noble messenger applied his healing spittle to his eyes, they were cured, with no trace of the discomfort remaining. The following morning, Ali conquered the citadel of Khaybar by removing its extremely heavy gate and using it in his hand as a shield. During the same battle, Salama bin al-Aqwa's leg was struck and split open by a sword. Allah's messenger breathed onto it, and the leg was at once healed. Third example, authorities on the Prophet's life and foremost Sa'i report from Uthman bin Hunayf, who said, "A blind man came to Allah's noble messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and said, 'Pray so that my eyes may be healed and I may see.' The Prophet said, 'Go and take the ablutions, then pray 2 rakats and say, O Allah, I beseech you, and I turn to you for the sake of the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Mercy. O Muhammad, I turn to your sustainer for your sake and through you, asking that he uncover my sight. O Allah, make him my intercessor.' He went and did this. And when he returned, we saw that his eyes had opened and he could see very well." Fourth example, a great authority, Ibn Wahab, reports, "The hero, Mu'awid bin Afra, one of the 14 martyrs of the Battle of Badr, had his hand cut off by Abu Jahl the Accursed while fighting with him. He took the hand with his other hand and went to the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah's messenger stuck the hand in its place and spread his spittle over it. It was at once healed. Wa'id went again to fight and continued to do so until he was martyred." Imam Jalil bin Wahab also reports, "During that same battle, Hubay bin Yasaf was struck on the shoulder by a sword, so that he received a grievous wound with part of it almost severed. The noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, joined the arm and shoulder back together again and breathed on it, and it was healed. Thus, for sure, these two incidents are separate, single reports. But if an authority like Ibn Wahhab considered them to be sound, and if they occurred during a battle like that of Badr, which was a spring of miracles, and if there are many other examples which resemble these two incidents, for sure it may be said that they definitely occurred. Indeed, there are perhaps 1,000 examples established in authentic traditions for which the blessed hand of Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, was healing. A question. You describe many things as being reported unanimously through many channels, but we are hearing most of them for the first time. Surely something, the various reports of which are numerous and unanimous, cannot remain thus secret? The answer. There are numerous things concerning which there is consensus in their various reports, and which are self-evident to the learned scholars of the Sharia, but are unknown to those who are not one of them. For the scholars of Hadith, there are many such things, which for poets have not even the status of isolated reports, and so on. The specialists of all the sciences explain the theories and axioms of their science, and the ordinary people rely on them and either submit to them or become one of them and see for themselves. Now, the events, the reports of which we describe as forming true consensus, consensus in meaning, or which express certainty like consensus, have been shown to be thus by both the scholars of Hadith and the scholars of the Sharia and the scholars of the principles of religion and by most of the other levels of the ulama. If ordinary people in their heedlessness or the ignorant who close their eyes to the truth do not know this, the fault is theirs. A passage worthy of being written in gold and diamonds. Yes, it was mentioned above, small stones glorifying and praising Allah in his hand, and in accordance with the verse, when you threw, it was not you who threw. Earth and small stones in the same hand becoming missiles and projectiles against the enemy, routing them, and according to the verse, and the moon split, the moon splitting at a sign of the fingers of the same hand, and water flowing like a spring from the 10 fingers of the same hand, and there providing a whole army with water, and the same hand being healing to the sick and wounded. All this shows what a wondrous miracle of divine power that blessed hand was. It was as if, for friends, its palm was a small place for the remembrance of Allah, for as soon as small stones entered it, they glorified Allah and recited his names, while in the face of enemies, it was a small dominical ammunition store, which, when pebbles and earth entered it, they were transformed into missiles and projectiles. And for the sick and the wounded, it was a small pharmacy of the Most Merciful One, which was a cure for whatever ills it touched. When it rose with glory, it split the moon, giving it the shape of two bows, while when it was lowered with beauty, it became like a spring of mercy with 10 spigots, pouring forth the water of Kauthar. If the single hand of such a one is the means of those wondrous miracles, is it not then to be understood clearly how acceptable he is before the Creator of the universe, and how loyal he is to his cause, and how fortunate are those who declare their allegiance to him? Fifth example. Having explained and authenticated it, Imam Baghawi relates, at the Battle of Khandaq, Ali bin al-Hakam's leg was broken by the blow of an unbeliever. The noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, rubbed it. At the moment he did so, it was healed, so that Ali bin al-Hakam did not even dismount from his horse. Sixth example. The scholars of Hadith and foremost Imam Bayhaqi relate, Ali was very ill. In his distress, he was moaning and praying for himself. The noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, came and said, O Allah, grant him healing, and touched Ali with his foot. He told him to stand, and Ali was at once cured. He stated, I never again suffered from that illness. Seventh example. This is the well-known story of Shurah bil al-Jufi. He had a morbid growth in the palm of his hand, so that he could hold neither his sword nor the reins of his horse. Allah's Messenger والسلام, rubbed the growth with his blessed hand and massaged it. Not a trace of it remained. Eighth example. Six children, each the object of a different miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first, Ibn Abi Shaybah, a meticulous researcher and well-known scholar of hadith, relates that a woman brought her child to Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. The child had an affliction. He could not speak and was an idiot. Allah's Messenger rinsed his mouth with water and washed his hands, then gave the water to the woman, telling her to give it to the child to drink. After the child had drunk it, nothing remained of his illness and affliction, and he became so intelligent, he surpassed even the brightest of the rest. The second, according to an authentic narration, Ibn Abbas said, an insane child was brought to the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. He placed his blessed hand on the child's chest, and the child suddenly vomited a small black object like a cucumber. The child was healed and went home. The third, Imam Bayhaqi and Nasa'i relate through an authentic chain of transmission that a child called Muhammad bin al-Hatib had been scalded by a pan of boiling water and his whole arm burnt. Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, touched the arm, spreading his spittle over it. The same instant, it was healed. The fourth, a child who was not young but was mute came to the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. He asked the child, "Who am I?" The child, who had been mute from birth, replied, "You are the messenger of Allah," and started to speak. The fifth, Jalal al-Din Suyuti, who was honored with conversing with Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, on many occasions while awake, and was the leading scholar of his age, explaining and authenticating a narration, reports, soon after being born, a famous person called Mubarak al-Yamama was taken to the Prophet. On his turning to the baby, it started to speak, saying, "I testify that you are the messenger of Allah." The Prophet exclaimed, "May Allah bless you." The child never spoke again in his infancy, and later became famous as Mubarak al-Yamama, the Blessed One, Yamama, since he had been the object of this miracle of the Prophet and his prayer. The sixth, one time, an ill-mannered youth interrupted the prayer of the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, by passing in front of him while he was performing it. Allah's messenger said, "O Allah, cut short his paces." After this, the child was unable to walk as a punishment for his bad behavior. The seventh, a shameless woman, who was like a child, asked for a piece of the food Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, was eating. He gave her some, but she said, "No, I want a piece from your mouth." So he gave her a piece, and after eating the morsel, she became the most modest and bashful woman in Medina. There are not 80, but perhaps 800 further examples of this miracle similar to the 8 mentioned above, most of which are related in the Hadith books and books of the Prophet's biography. For sure, since the blessed hand of Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, was like a pharmacy of Luqman the Wise, and his spittle was like a spring of Khidr's water of life, and his breath soothing and healing like that of Isa alayhi salam, certainly many people would have recourse to him. And the sick, children, and the insane did flock to him in great numbers, and they were all healed. Abu Abdul Rahman al-Yamani, known as Tavus, even who made the Hajj 40 times and for 40 years performed the morning prayer with the ablution of the preceding night prayers, and who met with many of the companions and was one of the greatest scholars of the generation following them, stated and made the certain report that however many lunatics came to Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, placing his hand on their chests, they were all healed. Not one was not cured. Thus, since a great scholar such as that, who had direct connections with the era of the Prophet, made such definite and general statements, for sure, none of the sick who came to Allah's Prophet were not healed. They were all healed. Since this was the case, certainly thousands would have had recourse to him